It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Cattle Industry Convention, NCBA Trade Show is over, but not before we talk with Carl and Pat Schlinke with Dry Creek Ranch in a moment. First off, Gary Schnitke, University of Illinois on ARC PLC decisions.
Our recommendations are that if you're looking at these choices, lean towards PLC for corn and wheat. So if you're thinking about those two choices, PLC and ARC County, take PLC for corn and wheat. And for soybeans, it's a really tough decision. You could go either way. There's also the options of ARC IC, and we would suggest taking that on a limited number of farms if, and this is a key if you have high-risk farmland that is prone to prevent planting.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by Carl Schlinke and Pat Schlinke. By the way, y'all are almost newlyweds, aren't you? You've known each other a couple of years?
70.
Well, congratulations on the 70th anniversary. What, just last week?
It's last week, yeah, the 26th of January.
Well, that makes for a pretty good partnership in what you do. Pat, would you say so?
Yes, I would definitely say so. Particularly, all through our life has been a good partnership. Yeah, in work and all. Excuse me.
So, Carl, let's kind of jump in. Let's talk about Dry Creek Ranch. Did I say that right?
Dry Creek Ranch, that's correct. The creek is dry, yes. However, I will say that the work we've done on it, we've still maintained a few springs, I guess you'd say, not enough that they're flowing like I remembered in my childhood, having lived on that creek. We had 3 and 4 pound bass running up and down the creek. We don't have that kind of condition now, but we do have pots of water, and that's always rewarding to see.
Well, let's talk about an award that you've just recently won. Let's start with that. What's the award and what's it mean?
The award that we are being considered for in representing Region 4 of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association is the Environmental Stewardship Award. I think affectionately referred to as ESAP. I was not aware of this. However, anyone that might be in the audience, I would encourage you to look around and see if there's anyone ranching in your area that you feel, from your perspective, has done some improvement of the ranch land. Look it over, and you may want to nominate them for this award, because we were blessed by somebody having nominated us without our knowledge that this award was even out there.
Let's talk about the importance of taking care of the land. I know one of the buzzwords today is sustainability. How important is that, not just to Dry Creek Ranch, but for every ranch?
Yes, that's a good question, and we were talking before you went on the air that sustainability, and in our conversation led me to think that it's not only sustainability for cattle, but it's sustainability for ranch life. We find that some people are blessed with more money than they want to put into ranching, but they want the land. And so consequently, they'll come in and not have ranching that much of interest. My concern was, at our age and knowing that we're not going to be able to keep the ranch as a whole, is what are we going to do with it? Well, I want to pass it to younger people that want to ranch and want to keep in the sustainability of what I think of the term of ranching. And we're so blessed that we have found a couple that can do that. And the reason we're the logical person listening to this might say, well, why is it you're looking for somebody? Well, we have three children. However, I have to say they're all architects, and they're living in Rhode Island, New York, and one of them is retired, and our oldest son lives in Austin, Texas. But being retired from the military and they're being raised in the military, they didn't have the opportunity to be exposed to ranching. And it's not their fault, and I wouldn't have wanted to do anything differently, because military life for the family was wonderful.
You know, it's that's a tough topic to talk about when we start talking about transitioning, if you will. It is, I would imagine, for some families that's a tough topic. Was it?
Not particularly. It was tough for Carl to realize, because I think it's a natural thing that we all want our children to maybe follow in our footsteps or something. Maybe, but regardless, I think that's changed a great deal in the generations. And we formed a partnership when we started ranching with the kids, and they told us at that time, the youngest one was still in college, and they told us at that time that, you know, we respect this, what you want, so you do what you want to with the ranch. We'll gladly be partners and do what you ask us to do, but you do what you want to with the ranch. Because they didn't know anything about it, of course. So that's kind of the way we operated for a while, until, due to a glitch, we had to restructure the partnership and rename it and so on. And so then we really started, all of us, working together to have the meetings to discuss what we were going to do, where, how, and so on. And, of course, the finances, all that. So they became more accustomed to it, and they still were not wanting to interfere, so to speak, with what we thought was the best way to do it, you know. But now that we sold the cattle and we leased the land, now they are taking on the responsibilities of taking care of it. And one of them does bookkeeping, one does leasing, and so on, you know. But so consequently, it's worked out. And I think, you know, Carl and I often say how much we are blessed with so many things in our lives. But that is one of the larger blessings, is our three children and their children, and how I think we all respect each other. I think that's the best way of putting it.
So, Carl, I want to turn back to you, because it's a difficult game to get into. Agriculture, if you don't have family in it already, it is really difficult. So I'd like for you to put your new boots on for just a moment and think about what advice you could give maybe to a young couple, a young family, maybe even a middle-aged, somebody who's looking to start out on their own. What advice would you give them, and what is it that they need to know?
Think back when we were getting ready to retire from the military, and having been in the military 26 years, I'm thinking of the possible person that is in the same boots, maybe not knowing agriculture that much, or ranching, if you will. Take advantage of all the opportunities you can to learn what's out there, what's current. I quickly say, I think in Texas, it's Texas AgriLife, I believe. They put on a lot of wonderful programs. Take advantage of it. Go and listen. And think of, we're sitting here at the convention of cattle breeders in Houston. Yes, there's a fee to be enrolled, But think of what the profits are if you'll come and take advantage of everything that's there to educate you on going into ranching. And I can't help but recommend thinking that most people are going to be a married couple, let's hope. And let's hope, because I'm speaking for myself. You need to have a couple of people. The couple needs to want to aspire to do the same thing and work together. I've been blessed with that for 70 years. And I wouldn't be where we are right now if it weren't for Pat. And I mean that in all aspects. She yes, was a wonderful housewife, but working cattle was a daylight to dark on some days. And yet she was coming in and preparing a meal. It may not be a nutritional meal, but nutritionist, but it was certainly sustainable.
And that brings us full circle back to the sustainability. Thank you so much for sharing your story. And again, Dry Creek Ranch, San Angelo. And I guess the last thing here is, if there's one thing you wish somebody would have told you before you started and jumped in to Dry Creek Ranch, what would that have been?
Again, I'll speak just from my experience, and I think my experience is Pat's likewise, is what we were exposed to as children, and that was the Hereford breed. I recognize they're not black. They're not the most popular breed out there. But regardless of what you choose to do, know why you've chosen that particular animal. If it's not cattle, your land may be more adaptable to raising sheep or goats or whatever. But look into the breed that you're going to go into and spend your dollars wisely.
So good to see you. Congratulations. And I hope we'll get to see you again soon. Again, it's Carl and Pat Schlinke with Dry Creek Ranch in San Angelo on today's Agribusiness Report.
Second best isn't good enough when it comes to your tractor's performance. You know what? We know it. That's why we run Fendt tractors. One test drive can show you the difference between a great tractor and a truly exceptional machine. Ready to set up a demo? Get behind the wheel of a Fendt to experience it for yourself and see why the best run operations run Fendt. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
What can you get for 2 cents these days? How about new, more efficient wheat varieties? Better market access for Texas wheat producers and increased demand to your product. Each year, the Texas Wheat Producers Board achieves these goals by investing producer contributions to promote wheat through research, education, and market development. Who knew 2 cents could be so valuable? A message from the Texas Wheat Producers Board.
Welcome back to the Agribusiness Report. Special guest again, Carl and Pat Schlinke with Dry Creek Ranch in San Angelo.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing, and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Ambassador Sarah Bianchi is Deputy U.S. Trade Representative.
Well, the role of Congress is absolutely critical here in terms of close consultation. You know, Ambassador Tai comes from the Hill, and one thing we are, and as does Ambassador White and many people in this building. And so one of the things we are always keeping in mind is how to keep Congress well consulted early and often, and we plan to do that. We don't plan to have market access commitments under the IPEF, so it's a bit more of a administrative arrangement there that includes high standard outcomes and meaningful commitments, but it will be developed with extensive consultation among our trading partners, with our stakeholders, and I can assure you including close consultation with the Congress.